Well, good evening to you. It's nice to see so many faces here tonight, and yet it's a little bit scary. But I tell you what, that's the thing about what we're talking about tonight. We are beginning our study and our trip on life in the Spirit. And believe me, if you don't know about walking in the Spirit, you don't know about life. Because that's where all the issues are settled. That's where they all come from. That's where they all get taken care of, is when we walk in the Spirit. Dad Hagen's book that he wrote, and I've got mine right here. I've just got too many things up here. It's called Tongues. The book is called Tongues. And I've been in this. I was filled with the Spirit when I was 15 years old, 14 years old. So I've walked in the Spirit all these years, many different ways, many different avenues. But it seemed to me that the thing that I always heard was there's a problem with tongues. I don't know about, what do you think about tongues? What do you think about tongues? Where do you fit with tongues? What do you believe about tongues? Well, my pastor taught me a lesson, and I probably won't get all these details perfectly correct, but he talked one time to us about when, and I believe it's the CIA, when they begin to train those people and they begin to teach them how to study about counterfeit money. He said, you think, you know, we're going to go take you out here and teach you. This is a counterfeit. This is what a counterfeit looks like. This is the problem with the counterfeit. This is how the counterfeit doesn't work. And instead of that, they don't mess with the counterfeits. They take them over here and teach them the real thing. And they show them the truth of the whole matter. This is what a $100 bill looks like. This is what a $20 bill looks like. This is what it really is. And this is how it works. And so you don't mess with that. I remember a time when Michelle, we first came to Austin, and she went to work down at the state office, and all of a sudden people were getting into this weird new age, some kind of crazy mixed up religion and doing stuff that was just, well, they were doing Reiki. How many of you know what Reiki is? It's a form of occult worship, and it's where they lay you down and they walk back and forth over you and they speak healing to your body. So she came in just, what do I do about this, Mom? What do I do about this? And I said, well, baby, let's pray about it. So she started to pray, and she says, okay, I'm going to the library this afternoon. I'm going to find me some books. I'm going to see what this mess is. So she goes and finds her big stack of books and comes home. And we start trying to dig through them to find out what is the fallacy of this Reiki thing, whatever. You know, what are we up against? What are we? And the Holy Spirit said to us, it doesn't matter about the counterfeit. What matters is what is the truth on the matter. You don't need to know about the counterfeit. You just need to know more about the truth. You don't need to argue with them because you have the answer. You have the answer already. And that's my word to you tonight. We're not going to argue about tongues. We're going to sell it, celebrate it. We're going to settle it because it's the word of God and it's the plan of God for us. He said to be filled with the Spirit. And after you are filled with the Spirit, you will have the initial evidence of speaking with tongues. Now, we see this happen in the book of Acts over and over again, and there's so many scriptures I could read. There are just so many scriptures, so I'm going to let you do that. I'm going to let you go read the book of Acts and see what the book of Acts says. But there are so many places where they talked about ministering, and they went into these places and they said, we laid hands on the people and commanded them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive the power of the Holy Ghost, which is your gift from God. And it came on the day of Pentecost, 120 people, when they came into unity together and they had waited the particular time. The Holy Ghost came on them. And what did they do? They began to speak in other tongues. And now when you study back in those days and they talk about tongues, they were not talking about what people call it today, because different people walked by and they heard people speaking the language of their country. And over here, somebody else was speaking the language of another country. And somebody back there was speaking the language of another country. And so these are tongues, are languages that the Holy Spirit gifts us with. Now, how do you get the one you want? How do you determine between which is what? It don't matter. The Holy Spirit does that. Now, I want you to realize that when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. Because he comes in at salvation, but that's not where he necessarily empowers you. You have to ask him for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. You have to desire to be filled to overflowing with the Spirit. And there must come a desire for God. That's where love comes in. You know, many, many years ago, more years than I want to say, there was this handsome, gorgeous young man who brought me a diamond ring. And he put it on this finger right here. And he said, "Will you marry me?" And I said, "Oh, yes, I will. I love you dearly. I will marry you." Well, I didn't take that engagement ring and go off and say, "Well, I'm engaged. It's a done deal. That's it. I'm engaged. You know, my life is complete now. I'm engaged. Go on my way. Live my life. Do whatever it is I'm going to do." No. No, there was love in my heart for this man. I began to plan, where are we going to live? How am I going to decorate my house? What do I need? What does he like to eat? How am I going to cook? How am I going to dress now? Where are we going to church? Plans. And I realized that that diamond ring was the beginning of a new life for me. And as I was meditating this today, God said to me, "When you receive tongues, your prayer language, it's just the beginning of a new life for you. It's all about your life in Him now. It's all about what He will do in your life now. It's all about you submitting Him and giving in to Him." Well, you say, "I had somebody lay hands on me and they prayed for me and to receive the Holy Spirit, but I didn't get a prayer language." I can remember, Brother Alfonso, many years ago, when we didn't know how to teach this and we didn't know how to do this, we'd lay hands on somebody. I saw people many times go for a year or 2 years and all they could say was da 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 da. And that was all they had, but they didn't quit. They took that and kept going. Now we have, I believe, more understanding and the gift of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, He begins to stir you here. This is where the tongues come from. You begin to feel something stirring in here. I just got to say this. He may have to kill me or hit me or something later, but my little Jared was baptized in the Holy Spirit yesterday. He received his prayer language yesterday. Thank God for women of God like Jerry Chambers, who made sure that all of the children in her class, because they're coming out here for the 10 o'clock prayer. Jared was here for prayer this morning. But when this happens, you receive the Holy Spirit, you can go ahead and pray in your prayer language. You don't have to wait. And people say, "Well, I don't have anything to say." Well, when you read the scriptures, and again, I said I'm not going to go back and read all the scriptures for you, but when you read the scriptures, it says, they spoke. They spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so the Holy Spirit of God has come into your spirit man, which is in your belly. And when He comes in here, He desires to speak through you. He desires to say things through you that you don't understand or don't know what they are. But we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And when we begin to pray in the Spirit, then we begin to produce life. We begin to decree and declare and see life being manifested. You haven't lived until you've learned how to flow in the Holy Spirit. Just go sit down in a corner somewhere. Close your eyes and begin to walk in that love relationship with God Almighty. "Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you more than life itself. Lord, you are so awesome to me. Lord, I don't know how I ever lived without you." And it won't be long you'll get to the place that you can't. There's not enough words in this language. There's not enough words in our English language to express the relationship with Him. And before you know it, it comes boiling out of here. Yoda bahasa mamanakete. Yem barakara behe setaya. Yahala babahaya lebehe setekete. And it's hard to pull yourself back in and quit speaking in tongues. I remember a kids' camp that my brother went to, and we went to pick him up after 2 weeks of camp, and there were kids over there, and there was a crowd around them, and people were laughing, and other kids were laughing, and I thought, what in the world? I was little. But we walked over there, and there were two boys who'd gotten filled with the Spirit earlier that week, and they couldn't quit talking in tongues. They were going on and on. They were so joyful. They were ecstatic, but they were talking in their new prayer language, and they couldn't stop. But you know what? They didn't want to stop. They wanted to keep loving God in that special way that He has given us to be able to express ourselves. It comes through the Spirit. Comes out of the Spirit. Remember that when you want to pray in your prayer language, you sit down and start loving God. Loving God. You can shut your mind off if you want to, but you still got to speak. You've got to say something yourself. You say, well, what if I say the wrong thing? Well, what if you say the right thing? You know, if you don't say anything, we know you're not going to get anywhere. But He said, they spake with other tongues. We speak with tongues. And so we begin to practice the presence of God. We begin to go into that realm that God has provided for us to be able to pray in a prayer language that is unique. My family is Spirit-filled. None of us pray in the Spirit alike. None of us sound just alike when we pray in the Spirit. Brother Alfonso and I have talked many times about the work of the Holy Spirit, how He works through us, and how He does what He does through us. And we've recognized that your personality plays a big part in that. I'm sanguine. I get pretty loud. But my daughter is more phlegmatic. She doesn't get loud. And so it kind of depends on your personality. Sister Gail is choleric. She gets pretty loud. And that's okay. But Sister Winnie is very soft when she prays in the Spirit. Everybody is different. Everybody is different. And it's amazing to me to hear the many languages, the many tongues of God. But the beauty of it is that He fills us to overflowing. And you learn to recognize what is in you. You learn to recognize the Holy Spirit of God has come to dwell in you. He's come to help you to get through life in the Spirit with great success, with awesome results. When you begin to pray in the Spirit, you begin to get into the deep things of God. What is the scripture that I read to you two or three weeks ago in Corinthians? Eye has not seen, ears have not heard the things that God has prepared for us, but God has revealed them to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. I begin to realize when I was raising my children what a difference the Holy Spirit made. When Gary was first filled with the Spirit, he would come in and say, well, Mama had this test today, and I just knew I was going to flunk it. And I knew I wasn't going to pass it, but you know what I did? I went in and sat down, and under my breath, I prayed in the Spirit. I prayed in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brought back the things I had studied to me and gave me the answers, and I made good grades. He was an A-B student when he graduated because he knew what to do with the Holy Spirit. I see Jared going back there, yay. That is a good thing. But that's what the Holy Spirit does in you. He gives you the answers to life. It's all about life. It's not all about tongues. It's all about life. It's all about what concerns you. It's all about what you need. But it pours out of this love relationship Brother Alfonso talked about. It comes out of that love relationship. I want to read a page to you out of the book, The Master is Calling. I have the book, but I have one from a year or two ago, and the cover is different. It's the same book. The cover is different. But if you've gotten into that book, it's a good one. It's Dad Hagen teaches from a man's point of view. He gives an excellent teaching from there. Lynn Hammond teaches, on the other hand, from a woman's point of view, where you can understand and comprehend. You know, a woman is used to multitasking, and so she explains about 10 things at a time. And Dad Hagen says it was this, and it was this, and it was this. And so, you know, we all have different ways we understand. So I encourage you to do what Brother Alfonso said and read several books on the subject. But it will just enhance what you already have, what you already know. This is a prophetic word delivered by Lynn Hammond in 93. But the Word of God endures forever. It's always good. And I'm just going to read it to you. It says it's time for a change. What is the Holy Spirit saying to this body of believers? He has said to us, we are in transition. The man of God spoke to us Sunday and said, the Lord says that this is not for now. It's for a lifestyle for this church, because the things God has prepared for us are greater than what we can see in the natural mind. And so we must pursue them in the spirit. But first, it starts off with you by yourself and your relationship with God. It starts off where you are in the spirit. And here's what he said. I said you'd be changed in my presence, saith the Lord. If you've not experienced change in your life, if your old ways are still prevailing, if your old man is still in evidence, you've not spent the time with me that I desire. It isn't a matter of self-control or disciplining your flesh with no help from me, saith God. If you'll spend time in my presence, you will be changed. Your pattern of life will be changed. Your old man will begin to pass away. The new man will begin to rise in the image of my son. Your life will begin to bear much fruit. The evidence of your walk with me will change as a result of spending much time in my presence. If you're having trouble getting rid of an old habit, if you're having trouble with your marriage, if your family relationships aren't changing, you're not spending the time with me that would enable that change to come to pass. Your desire and the motivation of your heart to walk uprightly before me is a product of becoming so close to me that you do not want to bring hurt to me. In natural relationships, when you love someone, you want to do the right things for them. You don't want to hurt them. Well, as you spend time with me, saith God, as you spend time in my presence, we'll develop a relationship that is closer than any earthly relationship. It will shape the pattern of your living. You'll want to conform your ways to my word simply because it's the desire of your heart. Your life will change, but it will be a product of your spending time with me. I remember when I was 7 years old, I had neighbors who had a Pentecostal church, and there were times when I couldn't go to my Assembly of God church, so I'd go to church with them. They had a revival one time, and it was fun to go because after church, we went on the parking lot and played chase. You know, 7, 8 years old, that's what was fun then. And so I would do that. So they grabbed me one night, and they said, are you filled with the Spirit? And, you know, like a 7-year-old would, well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then you're not. Come on down here. We're going to pray for you. So they put me in that altar, and for 4 or 5 nights, every night after church, they would get me in that altar. They would gather around me, and they would do all those things you've heard. Somebody would say push, and somebody would say pull, and somebody would say hallelujah, and somebody would say thank you, God, and somebody would say do this and do that. And I'm in this altar, and I'm going like this. I can remember it. God, what in the world are they doing? What do they want with me? I love you, God. I don't know what these people are doing with me. It'd go for at least an hour every night. And I didn't understand what they were trying. I didn't know they wanted me to talk in tongues. I had no idea that's what they wanted. Because nobody bothered to talk to me. They just got down there and prayed over me all the time. I remember one night I got in a different place in the altar. And I had my head down. And I was doing the same thing. Well, what are these people doing? My mom and dad weren't there. What are these people doing? What do they want of me? And I remember just being so bored. And I just got bold. And I raised my head up. And right there on that wall was that picture of Jesus when he sat and wept over Jerusalem. And it touched my heart. I said, that's the one I love. That's who I love. And out of here, all of a sudden, came my prayer language. When I saw that picture on the wall of the man Christ Jesus, and I recognized that's where my relationship is, that's who I love, that began to boil out of my spirit. You know, as far as I know, none of those people ever talked to me again. It was, get out of the way, kid, go play on the parking lot. So for 7 long years, I carried that experience inside me. And I wondered, what was that all about? What's supposed to happen with me? Yeah, I'm filled with the Spirit now, I guess. But nothing ever happened. I felt like nothing ever changed. Except I always knew there was something special about me because of what I felt in my spirit. One Sunday morning when I was 14, I was at my Assembly of God church, and this blind man came and preached a sermon. I don't remember what he preached, but when he got through, he said, "Is there anybody here who hasn't received the Holy Spirit?" He said, "When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have the evidence of speaking in a heavenly prayer language." And I thought, well, that sounds interesting. You know, I remember saying a few words one time, but this sounded interesting. He began to talk to us about the love of God. He began to talk to us about being filled with compassion for a God who wants to change the world, who wants to make differences in my life. And when he began to do that, it really drew on my spirit, and I said, that's what I want. I remember walking up there, and he said, "I want the teenagers to come first. And if you're interested in it, get up on the stage, and I want you to kneel down." I knelt down. I've never had a more glorious experience in my life. He laid hands on me and I was filled. I was baptized with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I got my prayer language for sure. And then he took us off in a little side room and he talked to us. He said, "This is not just to get your tongue night." He said, "This is a time for you to begin building a relationship with God Almighty." And when you begin to build a relationship, tongues are not hard. They're not hard at all. You can move right into that. Just get in a place of worshiping God. Get in a place of reading His Word. Get in a place of His presence. And let Him just overwhelm you with His love, because there's nothing like the love of God. And as I begin to do that daily, I begin to grow in God. I begin to recognize there's something about this. There's something about this. I'm not sure what it all is. And it was years before I ever received any teaching. But once you have that experience with the Most High God, you next move into that relationship with Him. And you have to spend time with Him daily. I was glad when I heard Michelle say she talked to Jared last night. And she said, "Jared, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit yesterday. Now, for the rest of your life, you need to spend time every day talking to the Father in your prayer language. Practicing the presence of God." I don't mean just going off somewhere and while you're ironing clothes and while you're cleaning house and while you're doing stuff, just chattering off in a funny language. I mean sitting with everything else pushed aside and saying, "Father, I love you. Father, I submit myself to you. Holy Spirit, do what needs to be done through me. Holy Spirit, show me what you need to show me. Holy Spirit, cause me to walk in wisdom. Holy Spirit, cause me to have the knowledge that I need to have for my life, to go in the right direction." Many, many times I remember in my life praying in the Spirit, not having any idea why, but then the next day things went wonderful. And I realized that it's from that relationship with Him. That's the thing I don't like about working from 8:30 to 5. That's the thing I miss. Brother Alfonso says, "I went home today and I laid on the floor for 2 hours praying in the Spirit." And I'm, man, I wish I was there. I miss that, because we were in ministry for many years. We were pastors of several churches. And there were days and days we would go in, the pastors and wives, we would go in and close the door and just get down on our face before God. And I remember in one church we knew, we had learned how to pray in the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit change things. And we were building a building. And we may need to use this one day. We were building a building. And God said, "You need to go ahead and order. You're going to pay cash for it as you go. Go ahead and order what you need." And so that day we had ordered all the rafters for a building a little bigger than this one. We had ordered all the rafters to go up on that building. And so all of a sudden, about 11 o'clock, the pastor came in and said, "You know what? We're just looking things over in here," and says, "We've got to have $5,500 when that truck arrives this evening. We ain't got it." We said, "Well, why don't we?" "Well, I don't know what happened, but we hadn't got it." And we said, "Well, we know how to get it." So we went in the sanctuary. We closed up the office. We went in the sanctuary and closed the door. And the four of us just got on our face before God. And we prayed in the Spirit for a while. Then we got up and we worshiped God. We worshiped God. We didn't stop and sit down. "Well, I guess we better cancel that truck. There's no money for this." No, we went before God with it. We prayed in the Spirit and we prayed in the Spirit. We said, "God, you know what you're doing. We don't. We submit to you. We're just going to worship you." And we spent that afternoon worshiping God. Well, about 5 minutes till 5, we heard somebody banging on the door. So Brother Stan says, we better get that door probably. That may be that truck. I don't know what we're going to do with him. But he's supposed to come at 5 o'clock. So we go to the door. And this man steps up and says, I don't know what this is for, but God told me to bring you a check for $5,500. So here it is. And about 5 or 10 minutes, that truck drove up with all those rafters. And we went trucking right along building that church. That's what the Holy Spirit in you does. You may not know what it's doing. You may not understand. That's okay. What is it about? A love relationship with Him. Allowing the Father, God, to work through you what is needed. Now, what is that called in our vernacular today? In the people of House of the Lord and what you have studied and been taught, what is that call? Through our prayer language, we access the fourth dimension. We pull something out of the fourth dimension that we didn't know anything about. We accessed it because we gave ourselves in obedience to the Spirit of God. We let the Holy Spirit work through us. We let Him come in and take over. And we submitted to Him. Yeah, it was kind of weird being adults and laying on the floor before God, but it didn't matter. It's kind of weird sometimes when we come down here and we get to interceding and begin to press into that birthing process. And we probably look kind of funny, like Brother Alfonso said the other day, Sheila and I and Brother Alfonso on the floor over here, and a few others, could call some names if I needed to, on the floor birthing things in the Spirit, because that's what the Holy Spirit does with us. It doesn't matter. The job gets done. And that job is establishing the kingdom of God. This is where Pastor Jim has taught us about going. Taught to us about going has taught us about the kingdom of God. And we go there by going into the Spirit of God and saying, Holy Spirit, you pray through me what you want done today. Holy Spirit, I submit to you. You pray through me. Little Jared's going to learn how to do this. Holy Spirit, I'm here. And I'll use my prayer language, and you just pray through me what you need to do. And I know he's going to be sitting there talking in his new prayer language. He's going to be waiting to see what God's doing. Because we're obedient children of the Most High God because we love Him. Not because we've been told some things. Not because there's junk out there we want and stuff out there we want. Because of that love relationship with the Father God. We set aside that time to practice His presence, to come into His presence. Many people will use music. That is the avenue. You've heard Brother Alfonso talk about our pastor, the kind of music that he enjoys that will work with his personality to bring in the anointed presence of Most High God. You learn what that is in your life. You learn what it is you need to do in your life to get in His presence and to allow the Holy Spirit to pray out of you. We have walked the halls of that hospital for, what are we going on, 9 weeks now? And we've been walking many times. Maybe just walking and chatting or sharing something, and all of a sudden it would rise up. And we would understand quickly something's changing down that hall. Something is changing. God has ordered something. Somebody's got to be able to speak it forth. What his pastor said, nothing changes on the earth unless a man speaks it. And if you don't know what to speak, that's what you do with the Holy Spirit within you. He knows. He knows exactly what needs to be spoken. He knows exactly who to get to speak it. But you listen to him. We have watched many things change in the Spirit because of this. We have watched lives change. We have watched circumstances change because we submitted to the Holy Spirit. We allowed the Holy Spirit to come up through us and to speak out and to say what needs to be done. Verse 12 of that in 1 Corinthians 2 that we were talking about says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I wonder how many things we miss if we don't pray in the Spirit. One of the great arguments is, oh well, in denominational circles, oh well, the Holy Spirit came in when I got saved. You know, and that's all you get. Well, if you want to stop there, that's all you get. Wonder how many things they missed in life. How much did they miss in life because they didn't go with God's whole plan? God is taking this body into a new realm. He's taking us into a new place. He's teaching us how to access the fourth dimension It begins in the spirit. That fourth dimension, I believe, is the spirit world, the spirit of God, where he reigns, where he rules. And we're able to go there and pull those things out by praying in the Holy Spirit of God as he raises those things up within us. And he says, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. And we submit ourselves to that. And we go to that place that he has prepared for us. There's always a time and already always a place, Brother Alfonso has said to us several times recently that there is a set time. There is a set time. And if you've been baptized in the Spirit and you haven't received your prayer language, there is a set time for that to come for you. You begin to submit yourself to God. You begin to pray. Praying is a key thing. Praying is going to get bigger and bigger at House of the Lord because that's our mandate. That's what God has said we were to do. The man of God is the authority that teaches, that speaks the word, but we are the power that causes things to happen. How can we make things happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit. People try to tell me, well, you're getting old. You know, you can't do as much as you used to. I can do more than I used to. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in me, because I know he is that authority. I know he is that power, and I benefit from that. I plan my life through that. I speak everything I have need of through my prayer language. I'm never alone. I have the love of the Father God. I just sit down and pray in the Spirit, and you can't tell me I'm alone. I know that the whole host of heaven is with me. I know the angels of God have surrounded me. Do I live in fear? No. No, I don't fear anything because I walk in that relationship with the Father God. And the Holy Spirit prays through me, prays out of me. He accomplishes the things that need to be done. I want you to go back and study the book of Acts. I want you to read it for yourself. Underline how many times hands were laid, and they received the Holy Spirit with power. They received the Holy Spirit with power. It always comes with power. Great power. It's called supernatural. It's called above and beyond anything you could think or ask. It's called more than enough in every realm of your life. What happened to me Sunday standing up here? Man, I never dreamed I was going to be standing up here and people are going to be throwing money all around me. Well, you know, there were needs for that, but I wasn't worried about it. Not at all, because God will produce whatever is needed to meet my need according to the living standard of heaven. How do I access that? By praying in my prayer language, by praying in the Spirit, by going there in the Spirit, by doing the things of the kingdom because I have a prayer language. Let me encourage you, if you've not received the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit, you need to. You need to receive your prayer language. You need to go there tonight. You need to experience what God has for you. You need to be able to access all the things, the promises of the Word that God has given us, the promises that Pastor has taught us so faithfully, the things that can be accomplished by praying in the Spirit, by birthing these things in the Spirit. I know last week, and I believe it was Thursday morning that we were here praying, and we began to intercede in the Spirit. And I just got praying so hard. It was so big for me. I sat down. I couldn't stand up anymore. And before I knew it, there were about 10 people around me. And we began to birth this thing in the Spirit. And as I prayed and as I began to press into it, as I began to pray through that thing, I didn't stop because I knew I wasn't through. You don't stop till you're through. And we'll be teaching about intercession soon enough. But as I prayed, God began to show me a place as big as this whole area. And it was people who were mired in the dirt, who were covered by the dirt. They were quality people and they understood the word, but they needed to be revived. They needed to be pulled out. They needed to rise up and take their place in the kingdom. And as I began to break through that thing, God began to show me faces of these people. They were coming up. They were getting rocks and throwing them, like, get out of my way, get out of my way. And they were coming up out of this hole. And you know who those people were? A whole lot of them were here Friday night and Saturday morning. And they rose up in the power of the Spirit. And they begin to go to that place God has called them to submit and put themselves in the place in the kingdom of God where they need to be. I shudder to think what would have happened Friday and Saturday had I not submitted to that. Had I not practiced His presence. Had I not been available to God for whatever the Holy Spirit wanted to do with me. My prayer language is the most important thing I have. It's the most important thing I have in my whole life. Not the money, not the house, not the cars, not the diamonds. And I've got a little bit of all of that. But that's not important like my prayer language and my relationship with Father God. It has worked all these years. It has worked for many, many years. I have prayed things in the Spirit. We have seen them happening. I just challenge you to go to that place called there. Find your place. And if you don't have your prayer language, we're going to pray with you tonight, I imagine. I expect we are. And we're going to see people baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with their prayer language. Whatever it is you desire of God, God is big enough for any of it. God can do it all. We're going on a trip here at this church. We're going to learn how to walk life in the Spirit. We're going to learn how to get in the Spirit and find everything this church has need of. We're going to walk out of here into that new building. We're going to walk out of here into that new school, and Pastor's going to be back, and he's going to be teaching in it. We're going to walk out of here and plant churches all over the country. We're going to walk out of here, and we're going to send people out, and they're going to begin to teach the message of the kingdom. Why? Because we are obedient to come into line with God's Word. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the power of God. That's where you change things, not with your money. Not with your just the words of your mouth, not even just decreeing the word, but hearing what does the Spirit say to decree? What does the Spirit say to decree? And then begin to speak that word and watch the power of it come forth. Watch the kingdom of God be established. Watch Him change this church. Watch Him change each one of us as individuals. There's so much more. There's so much more than what you've seen. Brother Alfonso is going to be doing a lot of teaching, and I don't know where I'll jump back in here, but I know that we have so much more to share about the work of the Spirit in your life. Tongues is the first step. Tongues is the beginning of life in the Spirit. Don't think you can go there without your prayer language. You're going to need it. You're going to have it. But God's got you ready for it. God's got it ready for you. You can walk right into it tonight. You can begin to experience that and learn to pray daily. Learn to pray daily. One more little story. I remember when I needed a car 2 years ago. And my income, I couldn't get a car. I couldn't make car payments. I needed a car. Well, let's go buy this used one that you can afford. Well, then I knew in my head, I can't pay repair bills. My income's not that great. So what I do, I begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to pray in the Spirit in one weekend. I had things ready, but I know what I was going to do. One weekend, heard this ad, and they said, we're going to have Tauruses in South Austin on sale. There's a few of them. They're going to be on for half price. They're brand new this year. Brand new. Going to have them half price. And I thought, man, that's a joke. Nobody gives away anything like that. But I continued to pray in the Spirit. When I got the release, I looked at my kids, and I said, let's go get that car. We drove to South Austin. I drove home in my new Taurus. Why? Not because they had a sale. Because God moved things through the Spirit of God, praying in my prayer language. Circumstances changed, praying in my prayer language. And that's where we're going. That's where we're going. Brother Alfonso.
As I said earlier, the only reason I have recommended books is not for the purpose of taking away the priority of the Word of God. Because the thing that we go by is by the Word of God. I want to share this with you in just a few moments. Someone said, why tongues? Why is it important to pray in the Holy Spirit? Why is it important that we go to that place? Well, I can give you many reasons for it. One is that is our God has given you the ability after you receive salvation. You have heard Mama Jo talked about earlier that there's salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells inside of you as you receive the Lord and you receive salvation. But then there's a subsequent experience beyond that called what we call the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And the reason for it is because, you know, with many scriptures, I can quote one of you is over in Acts 1:8. And ye shall receive power after you have received the Holy Spirit. Now it tells you the reasons why, and we understand that. But you will see power. See, life without the infilling of the Holy Spirit is life with no power. Now, not only that, but when you receive the Holy Spirit, or when you get the first evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is speaking what we call in other tongues, that is a way. You know, I was thinking about it today. I said, you know, we got it made. Because I'm convinced that when you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit with other tongues, the Bible says you speak mysteries to God. There's many reasons for it. One of the things that you'll find out about praying in the Holy Spirit is that we edify ourselves. When you pray in tongues, not everybody qualifies for it. If you have received, if you're born again, you qualify to receive what we call the second experience with salvation. It is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And you qualify for that. You know what? It doesn't take long. I remember, Mama Jo was talking about some of the experience. I remember it was in the First Assembly of God up in Panhandle, Texas. I'm trying to think of it. Actually, it was in Texas. It was in Oklahoma. But anyway, I still remember the pastor's name, pastor, you know, but when I was there, the Lord began to move and I began to have an invitation for people to receive not only the Lord, but to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And happened to be one of the board members. I remember praying for him and he fell on the floor and man, he started praying in tongues. I mean, and you know, he got up and he said, you know, Brother Alfonso, he said, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 20 years ago. I never again spoke in tongues. And I said, well, may I ask you why? He says, because I never felt to do it. In other words, he was waiting for a feeling to be able to go into that, to access or to exercise what we call tongues. You can speak in tongues anytime you want to. You can pray in the Spirit with other tongues anytime you want to. The Scripture teaches, and I can read them to you, how there's not just when you receive the Lord, when you receive Christ, and you have received Him as you know the Savior, the work of the Holy Spirit comes in what to create to make you a new creation in Christ, right? Now when you and so the Holy Spirit comes in the work of salvation. Then the Holy Spirit comes because the Bible says that we are to ask for the Holy Spirit. We are to ask for the Holy Spirit. It's available to anyone, to everyone that is born again. Now let me give you a scripture if you are taking notes. Go to John chapter 14, 17, and let me take you there, and let me have that. Thank you. John chapter 14, I believe that's what I said. And I'm going to read a scripture reference there to you. Let's read verse 15, all right? If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, how long? How long? Say ever. Abide with you forever. Now, notice how the Redeemer addresses, as we will find out, that when he's talking about the comforter, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. But he addresses him as he will send you another comforter, which in relation to the Holy Spirit. Now watch. Look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. Aren't you glad you know the truth? Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. We got something on the world that they don't have. Not only do we have salvation, but now we have the Comforter, oh, the Holy Spirit that can come and abide within inside of us. And as we will find out in other classes to come, in other times to come, there's more, there's a multi-task function of the Holy Spirit. Not just in prayer, but many other things. But here's what he says. Because he seeth, he says, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. For you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, go over to the book of Acts, please. I quoted that to you, Acts chapter 1. Acts, somebody called Acts of the Apostles. I think that's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. That's what I believe. But look what it says in, let me give you the reference to, let's read verse 5. Yes, Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Look at verse 8. But ye shall receive power after ye receive, after what? The Holy Spirit is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto all the uttermost parts of the world. Now, what does he say? You will receive power after you have received the Holy Spirit. I know Scripture says over there in John, he says that you know that God gives you the power to become the sons of God. That's salvation. That is in conjunction with. See, when you get born again, that's the Holy Spirit functioning in sonship. Because we become sons and daughters of the Most High God. Go over to Acts chapter 8, and to show you that there is a second experience to salvation. You know, there's denominations that believe that when you get saved, you get it, all of it. Well, you know, I guess God can do it if he wanted to. I don't know. But I'm saying that as Scripture would verify, and we'll find out here in Scripture, that it takes not just salvation, but it takes another, or what we call a second experience, so that we can receive the Holy Spirit, right? Now, in Acts chapter 8, I want to read this to you. These pages are real thin, so it makes it a little bit difficult for me. Let's start in verse 12, all right? Look what it says. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Isn't that beautiful? He wasn't preaching the gospel. He's preaching things, the message of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, whom were in Jerusalem, heard that that Samaria had received the word of God, and they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now notice what he's saying. These people were already born again. They already had received the message of the gospel. They already received the gospel message, as we know the good news, or the message of salvation. But then he asked them a question. Have you received the Holy Spirit? What does that tell you? There's a second or subsequent experience to salvation, which is called the infilling of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, there's many reasons that you can read. Again, you can reference the book, Tongues. And Brother Hagin talks about many reasons why the Holy Spirit praying in other tongues is an essential part of our Christian world. It is a must to receive not just the Holy Spirit in salvation, but that we experience what is called speaking with other tongues. Now, what's the reason for it? Well, I mentioned one of them. One is you edify yourself. In other words, it's like someone said, it's like a battery charger. You pray in the Holy Spirit. You know how Miss Lou and even the pastor, because we watched them pray in the Spirit for hours at a time. You know what gives the sustaining force behind? We know the primary thing is the Word. We understand that. But it takes the Word to bring life to that. So as when they pray in the Holy Spirit, not only they're edifying themselves, right? They edify, in other words, they charge themselves. In other words, we energize ourselves in the Holy Spirit. We edify one another. Well, that's one aspect of being the purpose of praying in the Holy Spirit. Here's another reason. You speak in mysteries to God. Now, that kind of turns me on, because you know what that means? I'm convinced the devil cannot understand once you begin to speak mysteries to God. That is your own line of communication, your own hotline, if I can say, to the Father when you speak in other tongues. Another reason to pray in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always prays the perfect will of God. When we don't know how we ought to pray, remember in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the life of the Spirit himself, right, helps our infirmities or our weaknesses. Meaning, it's not talking about infirmities, it's not talking about sickness, it's not talking about, no, but in that particular verse is relating to our human part of us. That we are limited because we are human vessels. So when we begin to pray and make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit in other tongues, then the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. Now, you will find out as time develops in some of these classes, you will find out the Holy Spirit has different functions. One, of course, he's the comforter. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit can comfort you in times of need and things? We've experienced that in our lives. You can also know that he's our aid. He comes to our aid. That's when Romans says that he will come to our aid. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. The Holy Spirit is our standby. One said the Holy Spirit is like an umpire on the inside. See, that's what, in other words, it is the Holy Spirit that is the revealer of truth. The word, when the word is no longer just the letter of the word, it becomes alive because the Holy Spirit reveals the truth. He's the revealer of truth. So in these things, as we go, you will find out that it is one of the most powerful prayers that you can pray. Paul said it. I pray more in tongues than y'all. He must have been from Texas or something. But he said, I pray in tongues more than y'all. In other words, he did that. He did. But now, I can't go without saying this. There is order. There's no confusion. That's why we are endeavoring to follow order of the Holy Spirit to what? When we come here and pray, we're here for only one reason, and of course the Holy Spirit will and has given us different assignments to that. But overall, we come and we stand in what? In the behalf of our pastor, right? Now, is it, I think it's at Ezekiel, over in Ezekiel, that says that God was looking for a man to make up the hedge? I couldn't find one, he said. Well, you know what we've done? God has found not only a man, but a woman in this church. I'll answer the clarion call. I'll answer the Macedonian call. I'll answer the bidding of the Holy Spirit, because what? Something has happened that has to change. Something that can only be changed. Thank God for the medical profession. Thank God for the doctors. Thank God. But this thing has to be dealt with in the Holy Spirit. Because we're not dealing with just not only natural things. Now, we know from the beginning, and the man of God has taught us. We know the already's of God. We know that because of what Yeshua did, and what the Blessed Redeemer did, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We know healing belongs to. We know health belongs. We know that that's what belongs to the pastor. That's his. Now, I got news for you. The devil has tried every possible way to contest our relentless stand on the Word of God. But you can't back away from that. You cannot allow yourself to go there. You cannot allow yourself. Why? Because we're in this. Listen to me. When you begin to lie from the Spirit, there's one thing you must understand. We're going to finish our course. We're not going to stop halfway. Brother Richard mentioned something that my prayer is this becomes a lifestyle to us. Not just because of a attack. Do you know that part of the function of the Holy Spirit, as we begin to learn more about praying in tongues and how important that is, that the Holy Spirit can show us things to come before they even happen? And do you know that we can stop things before they even develop? That's the function of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be learning these things. And let me, in the last couple of minutes I want to share something with you. The most important message you'll ever hear as a Christian is two things. Read the Word and pray. That sounds so simplistic. But the more you read the Word and the more you have fellowship with God, and I don't have time to go there because we're going to stay within the boundaries of our timetable. But in one of the classes I'm going to give you, I'm going to inject in that, I want to talk to you about how to have intimate fellowship with God. Because everything stems from that, the Word and having fellowship with the Father. And fellowship, you know, now you can have a relationship with someone, but not have fellowship. Did you know that? There's a difference between relationship and fellowship. Have you ever been in a situation where you say, I sure like to get to know Bob. He looks like a really nice guy, and never take time to spend time with him. A lot of people say, there's two ways we know the Father, and we get acquainted with God. By His Word, that describes His character and who He is. By what? Fellowship in the Spirit, that brings to life what the Father has been trying to teach us. So I'm got in my first class that I will do, I'm gonna give you a teaching that I got that by revelation of the Holy Spirit, and I'm gonna show you, and I'm gonna allow you to practice having intimacy with God. I have done that for years in my life. For years, I have fellowship with the Father. And I sometimes things happen, but overall, I spend time with the Father. I try to do it every day of my life if I can. So we're going to lead you into it, and we're going to show you. There are other things that we're going to show you about the importance of tongues, praying in the Spirit, praying out the will of God, staying in that realm, so that we don't quit until we see the victory. That we're not going to stop until we see everything that we have decreed concerning our man of God. We are not stopping. We are not giving up. We are not gonna. And if we feel, if we feel sometimes that, man, we hear something, man, there'll be somebody out there that can support when some of us maybe stumble a little bit. There'll be somebody else that is strong, that has been energizing themselves in the Holy Spirit. Says, no, Brother Alfonso, we're not going to go there. No, Miss Lou, we're not going to go there. We're going to stand there. We're going to keep believing. We're going to speak. We're in agreement with you. We know what we're and continue. But it's praying in the Holy Spirit that energizes us. So there'll be a lot of things that it was by way of introduction today. It's simple, but there's some things that you must understand. God is on the move in this ministry. He is doing something beyond this attack. Let me say that again. He's doing something more powerful than the attack that came. And so, by you coming up tonight, it tells us we're on the right course, and that we're gonna show you. Now, we're gonna give you, in the process of these meetings, we're going to allow time for question and answers. We're going to allow time for you to practice praying in the Holy Spirit, because that is the most powerful prayer that we can offer God. You speak mysteries to the Father. Now think about it. Satan does not have access to your prayer language, because you're speaking directly to the Father, spirit to spirit. The Bible says that God is the Father of spirits. And that's our contact with God. We contact God with our spirit. We know faith is involved, obviously, but it is how we do that. So in the next week, we're going to get into other things. My mom and I are going to we're formulating a plan and doing some things that we're going to stay in the course to show you, lead you step by step. I wanted to say that about salvation and the infilling. There's much we can teach on that. but many of you are seasoned in the Word of God. You don't need us to be repetition with that. I just wanted to remind you that there is a, you know, for those of you that perhaps don't have a freedom of release in the Holy Spirit, we want to help you. We're going to lead you there so that you can begin to you know, somebody said to us the other day, and I'm done, but signed up to go pray. And they said, well, I don't know if I should go. He said, because I'm praying in the natural. Well, this particular person has not been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so my response to this gentleman, I said, well, that's not necessarily true. I said, the Bible says that we can pray in the Spirit with understanding and in the Spirit. We know that the most powerful prayer is praying in the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't diminish the fact that you can decree a thing and it shall be established. Amen? So I encourage them to say, oh, no. We want you there. We want you to be there. And we want you to decree the Word of God. We want you to be there. That is what? Releasing the Spirit of the Word. All right? So next week, we're gonna begin some teaching. I'm going to give you a lot of word. We're going somewhere here. This is not just something because we have nothing else to do. And you know that you have schedules, you have all other things. No, I believe that the result of what is happening here, the ramifications are greater. I believe the day is coming, y'all, when we're going to see not just a few people, but dozens and dozens of people praying and seeking the face of God and turn things around in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. Father, thank you for these precious people that have made it a priority to be here tonight. Blessed Redeemer, we are in absolute agreement. And we say, Sister Lou, we are absolutely in covenant agreement with our faith and our decree that our men of God and your husband and the love of your life is rising up. And we decree today, all of us together, Jim Lillard, you are whole and you are the redeemed of the Lord, and no weapon against you will prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up in judgment will condemn, because it's the heritage of the servants of the Most High God. We speak life to his body. We speak the resurrection power of the living blessed Redeemer into his life. Now, Father, we are on a mission here. We are under assignment here, and we're going to continue to pray in the Spirit, and we're going to continue to go to that hospital, and we're going to continue to stand right alongside our First Lady and support her with our faith, with our love, and everything, because we are not backing away from any report. We're not backing away from whatever the doctor said. We're going to go forward. And Lord, I sense in my heart, I sense in my spirit that, Lord, it'll be quicker. It'll be speedily. And Lord, we decree it. And no matter what the devil tries to do, he'll try to rise up his head. We can decree a thing and shall be established. So we say, Pastor Jim, we are in covenant agreement with you. You will finish your course in the earth. You will proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, not just the gospel, but the message of the kingdom. And there is a mission and there's a vision that has to be fulfilled. And Father, you didn't give that vision to Richard. You didn't give that vision to Alfonso. You didn't give vision to anybody else. You gave that vision to Pastor Jim Leonard and his wife. And you have called us to rally around them and garrison around them and close ranks together with them to see the total manifestation of the victory that is already ours. In the name of the Blessed Redeemer. And all of them said, amen. See you next week. I know. Like I said, we're just getting started. But you will get some things. Believe me, we're going to get into some things concerning the Word and about life and the Spirit. All right? Bless you.